Remembering what we have spoken on this morning about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and without that resurrection, there wouldn't be any Christianity. There would be nothing for us to have as a basis for our hope in salvation and our hope of salvation if it were not for the resurrection. And so we look this evening at two people. I believe it's Cleophas and his wife, because we're told in John's Gospel that the wife of Cleophas was there at the cross, and I can't imagine him going back on this 7-mile trip, walking back about 7.5 miles without his wife. I just don't think he would have been at the cross, nor she would have been there, had they not been together. So I think this was a husband and wife. And I think it's important that we see this, and it's important to look at husband and wife walking together and wanting to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. In their own hearts, they wanted to know more about him. And they were a disappointed lot. They were walking along, as it says in verse 13, if you'd like to turn there. And it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And 70 furlongs is about 7.5 miles. So they had a trip to go back, and as they were walking, it was perhaps difficult to walk back, and the things that had happened had broken their hearts. And they were unaware, as we said this morning, of the Scripture. They were unaware of what the Lord had told them, and they had not yet seen the Scripture. They had not yet believed that Scripture. And so we see here that they were going along, perhaps they were arm in arm, and it says, number one there, they talked together. They talked together of all these things which had happened. All the things that were concerning them. They had seen Jesus do miracles. They had seen him perhaps raise the dead. They had seen him heal the blind and heal the deaf and heal the sick. They'd seen him do many things, and they were sure that he was the Messiah. They were sure that he was the one that would deliver Israel. They were sure that he was the one that would take them out of their doldrums with the Roman Empire. And as they talked together about these things, they were talking perhaps in that way, and it came to pass, in verse 15, it came to pass while they communed together. And this is even more intimate. The husband and wife were talking, but they communed together. And they were saying one to the other, perhaps, what was it that happened? What was it that we believed that was not appropriate in our way of belief? What was it? We just don't understand that. It says, and they communed together and reasoned. They were not just using fallacy, but they were reasoning. But the thing that was wrong, they were reasoning within themselves and among themselves, and they were not reaching out outside of themselves, and salvation has to come from without. It comes not within you. The conviction comes within you. You receive the Lord Jesus Christ from without, and then he comes to be within. And it says here that as they communed and reasoned together. Now listen, if you want to know, and no one has ever wanted to know about Jesus without the Lord Jesus revealing what that person wants to know. If you look in John's Gospel chapter 3, when Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus Christ, he wanted to know, and he came by night. Now I don't know why he came by night. The Scripture says he came by night, but the important thing is that he came. And Nicodemus came, and he wanted to reason with the Lord. As it says in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, God says, come now, let us reason together. Let us talk together. So here was, it says in verse 15, and it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. This was Jesus' desire. It's his desire to go with you. It's his desire to go with me. And we read in John's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28 and verse 19, he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. And so he wants us to know that he is with us. But here these people were not yet the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, they had not yet accepted him in his resurrected power, and so they were talking about him. Now, many people today, and I hope there isn't someone here tonight, but if there is, if you haven't received the Lord Jesus Christ, he wants to talk to you. He wants you to reason within yourself that you are a sinner because you are, and he wants to walk along with you and tell you who you are and who he is and what he can do for you. So it says here, and he drew near and went with them. Christ will go with a sinner to get that sinner to realize on the path that he is or the path that she is, and that they need him, and that it's important to for them to listen to him. And he said unto them, verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. In other words, their eyes were kept from seeing him. They couldn't see him, because you have to see him in a right way. You have to see him in the way that he wants you to see him, and we'll see that before we get through this message this evening, that we have to be able to see Christ as he wants to be seen, and you will never see him if you don't see him in that light. And he said unto them, verse 17, what manner of communications are these that you have one unto another as you walk and are sad? As I said a moment ago, they were sad. They were hoping that this would have been the glorious thing that they were thinking about. And now all their hopes were dashed. Their person that they thought was the one that would be the deliverer was nailed to a cross, and they were defeated. Everything was gone, and he was in the tomb. And now someone had perhaps taken his body, and they couldn't find it, as we'll see here in a moment. And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? Don't you know what has happened? Everybody should have known. Oh, it's been spread abroad that the crucifixion of the one who claimed that he was the Son of God. Look at John chapter 19 and verse 25, as we were relating to just a moment ago. Just to always, you always should back up with scripture, even what you think in it. In verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And that's important what we're going to say in just a little bit too, but it was important that we see who this was as we were speaking here. And he said unto them in verse 19, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Now listen, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Now Luke 7:16. Just turn back there a few chapters. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people. Now they thought that of him. A great prophet had come among the people of the Lord. And this is what they were saying. And then look in John chapter 3 and verse 2, where we were talking about just a moment ago. This is speaking of Nicodemus in John chapter 3 and verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that doest except God be with him. You see, these people had seen him as a prophet. They had seen him as a miracle worker, but that won't save you. You see, that isn't the thing that we need to know. And these people were saying, didn't you know that? Don't you know that? And then in Acts chapter 2, where we were speaking this morning in verse 22, it says, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourself also know. But they went on in verse 24 of Acts chapter 2 and said God had raised him from the dead. You see, this is the thing that we need to relate to ourselves as we're looking here. And if we don't, we're going to be sad. We're not going to be satisfied with this person who is a prophet. Jesus was a good man. He was the best man that ever walked on the face of this earth. But if you look at the meal offering in the book of Leviticus, which specifies about his sinless life, his sinless life cannot save. It was not the blood in the offering of the veins of the animal that saved, but it was the blood on the altar. And the blood in the Lord Jesus Christ's body could not save until it was shed on the cross of Calvary. And so we see here in verse 20, and they said, and how the chief priests and our rulers, you see, the chief priests and the rulers of this nation had delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. Haven't you heard these things? I don't see how you could have missed it. If you're only 7 miles from Jerusalem, how could you have missed that? That's what they're saying to this Lord, to the Lord who's walking with them. But it says, now look at this, and you have to be sympathetic with these people. And there are two people just like you and just like I am. There are two people that were saddened by what they thought was theirs and the reality around them. And look at verse 21. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. We really thought that he was the one. And besides all this, this is the third day since these things were done. Now, in chapter 1 of Luke, look there. They said what they were saying about him. Chapter 1 and verse 68. And this is Zacharias talking about the Lord Jesus. Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He was speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then chapter 2 of Luke and verse 38, where Simeon and Anna were giving praise, and she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spoke of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. They were looking for him. But you see, they were expecting him to come in some other way. Now, many people today have the fallacy of believing that when Jesus comes into your being as your Savior, you're going to be struck with a lightning bolt or something like that. Now, you may have all kinds of thrills and everything, but you don't have to have. You don't have to have. So these people here were expecting things from their Redeemer, as they've said here, but we trusted that it would be he which should have redeemed Israel, and besides this, this is the third day since these things were done. Now, why was the third day important? Because the Lord had told them, the Lord Jesus Christ had told on the third day that he would rise from the dead. He said, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall I be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. Now, men change it around. I don't know on which day the Lord Jesus was crucified, but I know he said, I'll be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. And so that's what we know. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights, so shall the Lord be in the belly of the earth 3 days and three nights. And he says, verse 22, these man and wife say to the Lord, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished that we were early at the sepulcher. Now, they were speaking about Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. They went to anoint the Lord Jesus' body with more spices, and they didn't find him. And they came and they told these people. But, you know, what would you have done? What would you have done if you'd been Cleopas and his wife? And they told you that the Lord had risen from the dead, and he wasn't anywhere to be found. What would you have done? Look at these people. We must have infallible proofs. We must have this, as we were speaking of this morning. And verse 23, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to a sepulcher and found it, even so the women had said, but they saw him not. Jesus, the Lord, is, as I said this morning at the Lord's Supper, he's so beautiful. He's so wonderful. And you can't express that, but a way that you might express it in certain things. When several people went out of this building this morning, they said, "Oh, it's so beautiful outside." And all they did was walk outside. You see, it's something that you know within your being. And that's the way it is with the Lord Jesus. He's so kind, so compassionate, so beautiful. And here, you know, I think that he wanted these people to see him. You see, these saddened people were on their way to Emmaus, and the Lord Jesus Christ wanted them to see him. You know something that I've studied out, maybe you can find it different. I can't find the person that was around that cross that the Lord Jesus Christ didn't make himself known to afterwards, after the resurrection. I can't find the one. And even there were 500, so maybe even all the people that were standing around there. But I can't find any people that he didn't appear to. And it's so, you see, he wanted these people to know. They were interested enough to be there on the cross. They thought who he was. He was a prophet. He was the Redeemer that was promised. But things just didn't happen that way. And so, there's only one way that he's revealed though. And so in verse 25, "Then said he unto them, O fools and slow of heart." Now the Lord Jesus can call somebody a fool and be compassionate with it, but you and I shouldn't do that. Oh, fools and slow of heart. Slow of heart reflects the Hebrew concept of the heart as a seat of intelligence. And it is. And their inability to comprehend has led to their despair. These people had been led to despair because they were unable to comprehend what has been spoken, you see. Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. It's been spoken about me. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that the gospel is according to what? The scriptures. That Christ died for our sins according to what? According to the scriptures. He was raised again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, the Lord was saying unto them, and he's saying unto you, and he's saying unto me this evening, you need to know the scriptures. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that speak of me. So here in verse 26, he says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Suffered these things refers to the rejection and the crucifixion of Jesus, which had become a stumbling block to these people here. It had become a stumbling block to Cleopas and his partner. If it were his wife, okay, but whoever it was, it had become a stumbling block in this case. And it was the rejection and the crucifixion. The Bible very vividly spoke of this in the Psalms and in Isaiah. And I don't know exactly what he said to them from the prophets, but he went clear back in verse 27, and beginning at Moses, and that speaks of the Jewish scriptures that Moses had authored. And that's the first five books of the Bible. He started back there. And how many of the prophets? Put that little three-letter word before that. All the prophets. You see, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Notice that. So he must be in every place. Vernon McGee says he's on every page of scripture. Now I can't find him there, and he said that he couldn't always find him there, but he believes that he's on every page of scripture because all scripture is about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it's important that we know the scriptures, and we need to know the Old Testament. We need to know the first five books of the Bible. And to digress for a moment, we're starting on the book of Leviticus in our Wednesday night studies, and we started last Wednesday, and we got five verses in the first chapter. So if you want to be in on an interesting study that the Lord teaches, then you need to come to the book of Leviticus and go through that with us, because it's oh so important in our knowledge. So he began at Moses. He began back there right at the beginning. He began in the beginning, I'm sure. And he began through Exodus, through the redemption out of the land of Egypt. And he began in Leviticus and all those beautiful sacrifices that we have there. All those illustrations, all the types of the antitype. And then he went to Numbers where they were going through the wilderness and all their rebellion and all their causing even Moses to strike the rock twice when he should have spoken to the rock. And you see, because of their rebellion, and we find of the people wanting to usurp authority over Moses' authority, and we learn of these things as we look into the history of what God wanted them to know. And then all the prophets. He went through all the prophets and expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And as they drew nigh unto the village, you know, they've been talking now, and I'm sure if he went back to Moses and through all the scriptures, now the Lord is able to penetrate a listening heart, a heart that wants to know. The Lord is able to communicate a lot of things to that heart in a little bit of time. Now, he won't force anything in there, but he's able to communicate in a little bit of time with a lot of information. And so they had walked along perhaps 7 1/4 miles, and the Lord had, and it probably seemed like they'd just been there, that they had, how did they get there so quick? And he had revealed so many things to them, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. Now listen, my friend, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you, but he will not force his way into you. He made as if he would go a little bit further. Do these sad people, do these people who were concerned about the Redeemer of Israel, the prophet, are they really interested? And they were. They were really and truly wanting to know. And when you want him, he wants you. When you want the Lord Jesus Christ, all the Father giveth me cometh unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So here are these people, do you want him? Now notice, he was going to go a little further. He wasn't, but he wanted them to think that. And he says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. He wants to teach them because they were teachable. Christ wants to teach the teachable people. Did you know that? He wants to teach us. He wants us to have the ability to be filled with wisdom. Now, wisdom is not knowledge. You can have knowledge without wisdom and do a lot of dumb things. You know that? But wisdom is what he wants us to have. And if we have wisdom, then we have the knowledge how to communicate that wisdom. And this was, the Lord is wisdom. But he's made unto us what? Wisdom, righteousness. You see, he's made unto us that. So he went in to tarry with them, and it came to pass, as they sat at meat with them, as he sat at meat with them, here he was right at the table with them, and their hearts were so saddened, so their eyes were so holden, that, you know, they could not see him. Now the Lord Jesus has been presented from this pulpit, or over the years, from this place, I'm sure, in a magnificent manner. And the Lord Jesus has been presented so that if people wanted to, he's right there. But it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, because the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. You see, Satan doesn't want a person to be saved. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, Satan doesn't want you to be saved. But the Lord Jesus wants you to be saved. He went more than 7 miles to save you and to save me. He came from heaven's glory, all the way from the third heaven. He came from heaven's glory down to a cross for you and for me. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with these people, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. What a person, what a beautiful person the Lord Jesus is. That when he sat with his disciples at the last Passover and then instituted the remembrance feast, he took bread and he broke it. Here, he was in their house. He wasn't the host. And he was in their house. And he took bread and he broke it. And this perhaps had to catch their attention. Now listen. If you're a guest in the house, you don't do the things that a host would do, do you? It'd get somebody's attention. And the Lord had such a wonderful way to get attention. He said to the woman at the well, go call your husband. He didn't point the finger at him and say, you go get your husband. Go call your husband. She said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, I know, but the one you're living with now is not your husband either. And so, you see, the Lord knew those things. Now, he blessed it. You see, he took bread, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. Now, if you come to my house, it's usual, if we sit down to the table and the meal is there, I would say, Billy, would you ask to bless it? But we don't sit down at the table in my house. You know, that's not the way we do it. And we sit down and Bill just start asking the blessing. But the Lord did here. You see, he took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. Now look, and their eyes were open. And their eyes were open. And you can't see in that way, in the way we're speaking about here, even if you're blind physically, as Fanny Crosby was, and who has written all these thousands of hymns that are in the hymnals, their eyes were open and they knew him. See? Oh my, the devil was trying his best to blind their minds. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Their eyes were open and they knew him. And right there, he vanished out of their sight. Now listen. The Lord appeared to them. He wanted to give them confidence and assurance that he was the one who had risen from the dead. And then he had vanished out of their sight. And then they had to rely on faith. See, they had to rely on faith. He couldn't walk with them all the time now because he was going back to heaven. He couldn't walk with them in a physical sense as he walked along. Now it was reliant upon their faith and their trust in him. Now look at this, and again, they were sitting there at the table, and what kind of an amazement would have been for you or for me? And I don't know too many people, in fact, I don't know any people, maybe you do, that a husband and wife have been sitting around the table and communing on the things of the Lord and have accepted the Lord. Now I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it was, and so they were thrilled, and we see him. You see, we see him, but we have to live by faith. And verse 32, and they said one to another, and it will happen, my friend. It'll happen today, just like it did then. If you will be enthralled with the Scriptures, if you will listen to the Scriptures and listen to the one who is trying to teach you the Scriptures, and that is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that will take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and reveal them unto us. Then they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scriptures? Our hearts should burn with anxiety. Our hearts should be burning with the thrill that it is that the Lord Jesus Christ would even stoop so low to speak to you and to me. And he does. And he wants us to understand all the words. Every word in there is given by the inspiration of God. Every jot and every tittle, as the Lord Jesus says in Matthew's gospel, shall be fulfilled. Every comma, every period, every question mark, every exclamation mark. In the original Greek, in the way that God gave it, everything is inspired. Now, man has taken it and translated it maybe in a little bit of fallacy, but we've done a pretty good job of translating the Scriptures from the Greek into the English language. We've done enough that the Lord can save anybody that wants to be saved by what has been translated. Now, so here they said, he vanished out of their sight. They were to live by faith. And they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the Scriptures? Notice that he will talk if we will just but listen. And they rose up the same hour, didn't wait. I figure they were kind of tired. They'd been in Jerusalem for at least 3 days. They'd been there experienced all these things, and I imagine they were pretty exhausted. But they rose up the same hour, and they started back on that 7.5-mile trip. They wanted to tell someone. They wanted to tell him they saw the risen Lord. They wanted to tell him. Now, have you seen the risen Lord? I don't mean with a physical eye, but it's just as important because the Lord Jesus Christ says, more blessed are they that have not seen. So it's just as important that when we see the living Lord, when we see him by an eye of faith, that we're willing to tell that we have seen him. I've been born again. When we have a baby, and men go around and give suckers or candy bars or blue ribbons or pink ribbons, you see them, we announce it. But it's far more important, my friend, a billion times far more important to be born the second time than the first. And so they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. They wanted to go and tell people. And they found the 11. They looked for them because these people were hiding. They were afraid of the Jews right now because they weren't yet endued with the power from on high. And so they found the 11. They probably knew some of the places, and they found them and found them gathered together and them that were with them. Now here we see that was not just the 11, but perhaps like it was in the upper room, there was some women with them. And so it could very well be the ladies that were gathered around the Lord Jesus at the cross. And oh, how we have to give honor to the ladies. They were the ones who stood around the cross. They were the ones that came to anoint his body. And so that's another study, but we need to look at that. And they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 11. And I imagine that this man and his wife, if that's who it were, I imagine that this man and this wife had the same desire as the Apostle Paul did here to the Romans in Romans chapter 1, verse 11. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be established. They wanted to tell them something. They wanted to tell them something of real importance. They had seen the risen Lord. He had eaten with them. He had communed with them. Now, so they went back and they said at first, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. He's risen indeed. And he's appeared to the one who betrayed him the worst, so man thinks. The one who denied him three times. And the Lord says in Mark's gospel, go tell the disciples and Peter. He wanted Peter to know that there was forgiveness. Now listen. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known unto them in the breaking of bread. Now, I would like to say to you right there, that is important. We saw him at the breaking of bread. You'll never see the Lord any more vividly, any more truly, any more wonderfully than you do at the Lord's Supper. Now, many people don't understand the Lord's Supper. They don't understand why we sit and we meditate and we think upon things, but we're led by the Holy Spirit, and as men are led by the Spirit, they give forth what the Lord has filled in their basket that week. It is a wonderful time, and the Lord will be made known. You will see him, but if you come with any other thought in your mind, then your eyes are holden. But if the Lord is the preeminent thought in your heart, and he is the one for whom you have come, and you have come, now listen, you have come to give something to him. The Lord's Supper is not a place where you come to receive. Now don't jump up and go out because I said that. You will receive, but primarily it's a place where you come to worship him, and when you worship, you give. You see, you give, and you will receive, but that isn't the purpose. You see, when I'm up here preaching, in a sense, you can't worship because you're receiving. You see, in that sense. But the thing of the Lord's Supper, we're giving to him, and he is to be the central theme, the central thought, and it is for people who are saved. And there is nothing that we should talk about at the Lord's Supper except what he has done for us and what he is going to do for us. It's already past what he has done for us, but we remember that. Remember what He has done for us and give glory to Him. Give glory and strength unto Him in the way that, and tell Him He's beautiful. Tell Him in our lives He means what He means. And these people said, we saw Him when we were breaking bread. That's when He made Himself known to us. And so if you want the Lord to make Himself known more unto you, then you realize what the Lord's Supper is and come, and not to get something, but to come to give something. And you know, if you give, you'll always receive. But if you have the idea of getting and never giving, then you can turn that around. Verse 36, and as they spoke, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be to you. Isn't that wonderful? Peace be unto you. The Lord Jesus in the midst. When we look at the book of the Revelation, the Lord Jesus Christ was in the midst of the lampstand. But when we take Him out of that place and you go on through the churches in the book of the Revelation, you get down to the Laodiceans, then He's on the outside. He's out there knocking. He wants in. You see, we put the Lord Jesus on the outside of the church, and the church is the most important place on the face of this earth to the Lord Jesus Christ. The church universal. But the church universal cannot be a church universal unless there's local assemblies. Cannot be. You and I don't belong to the church over in Timbuktu, but the people over in Timbuktu are saved, are our brothers and sisters. But we don't fellowship with them in the sense of the weekly fellowship and the gathering together to study the Bible. We have a local assembly. And the church, the local assembly, is the most important aspect of a Christian's life. It is, because who's the head of it? Who's the center of it? Jesus Christ Himself. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the one who is in charge. He's the head of the church. He purchased it with His own blood on the cross. He loves the church. He loved it and gave Himself for it. So He was there in the midst. And He said, peace be to you. And it will be peace to you. It will be peace to me if we keep Him in the midst and keep self where it should be. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed they had seen a spirit. Now, don't be too hard on them. Here they had never seen anybody come through the wall before. They'd never seen anybody just come in there and walk through that. It had a body. And He said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? And here again, they were slow of heart to believe. Behold my hands and my feet. That is, I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see me have. The Lord Jesus Christ arose from the dead in the very same body that He went into that grave, except it was a bloodless body. It was a bloodless body, and He was there, and when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and His feet. His feet and His hands that were pierced by nailing Him to the cross. And while they yet believe not for joy, sometimes we can get too enthralled in emotions and not believe the reality that is before us. And that's a lot of problem in our world today. And right here, even in Florence. And while they believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, have you here any meat? Now, Jesus was going to eat with them. And His eating is not to demonstrate the necessary or the necessity for food, for He needed none, but to demonstrate the reality of His presence. He wanted them to know that His body was there. Though transcendent, it is still a tangible thing to them. And so, in verse 42, they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before them. Right with them, communed with them. And He said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. No different message to the people there than the message to the two on the road to Emmaus, in the home at Emmaus. Message the same. Same message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand what? The Scriptures. And He said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day. And the repentance and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name of among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. The Lord appeared to make people know who he was, to make himself known unto those that he loved. And he loves the world. And he's standing right before you if you're unsaved tonight. In a spiritual way. In a way that if you trust him by an eye of faith, you can see that he died on the cross of Calvary for you. And that you have a home eternally in the heavens. Won't you trust him tonight? Won't you believe on him tonight? And if you're a Christian, won't you trust him tonight? Won't you believe him tonight? It's the same, it's applicable to both cases that we believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If Beverly will come, we'll sing that hymn in closing this evening. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Number 500.